So just looking at the latest vaccination totals for the state, I just looked them up here. More than 60% of adults in the state of Illinois have gotten at least one dose. 85% of the seniors. You've been listening to the news here. You know the governor's big announcement this afternoon that the state is lifting a lot of restrictions starting next Friday, right around the corner, with the state aiming to be fully open June 11th. If those COVID metrics hold and they meet the things that they're trying to meet there, but it's trending in the right direction. So we've heard a lot about things reopening these last couple of days, from concerts to conventions, theaters, seating indoors at full capacity even. What we haven't heard, missing from these announcements, I would say, pretty glaringly, is a plan for IDES to reopen. You know, the state's unemployment system, it's had a lot of problems, folks still waiting to get benefits, waiting for return phone calls, waiting to sort out their problems. At one point, I had been told last week, we saw some numbers, that 32,000 people were in the queue waiting for a call back because they weren't able to get their benefits. But that hasn't happened yet. So state lawmakers are trying to step in here and do something about it. State Rep Joe Sosnowski joins the show now. And I appreciate it, Joe. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me this afternoon.
It's a big issue, right? I mean, we've seen so many problems with this over the course of the pandemic, folks just trying to get food on the table, get their benefits that they're owed. And we've had a number of problems, and we've tried to make excuses for some of them. Some of them we have to say were okay, we got caught off guard initially. But here we are in a situation where you still hear of people unable to get their benefits, unable to get it sorted out through the phone lines. And even when they speak with a human, it's not happening. So it's just curious to me to see that there's no plans for them to reopen. Can you update us?
Yes, it's a huge issue. It's just a bad management situation. You know, it's not political. You know, we've got legislators on both sides of the aisle who have raised frustration, including the new speaker. And just last Friday, I went into Secretary of State's office in Rockford, renewed my license plate. There's probably 30 other customers, who are residents of Illinois who were being taken care of. And, you know, we have over 100 Secretary of State driver's facilities that are open, taking care of hundreds, if not thousands, of customers every week. Yet our unemployment office, for those people who need it the most or who have been victims of fraud, have remained closed since last March. And like you mentioned, there's absolutely no plans to open them. And it's completely unacceptable at this point.
So I was right about that. There are no plans. They're not saying, hey, we're looking at, we're kind of soft circling May 15th. Nothing like that. There are no answers. Are you getting answers? What's happening when they are asked?
Well, we're largely not getting any answers. And from different folks, you hear, well, maybe the end of the summer or sometime during the summer. And, my question is, listen, we have, like you mentioned, you've got tens of thousands of people who are not getting calls back. We have fraud cases. I had people call my office just this week, cases that are 6 weeks old. They can't get resolved. I had a gentleman who had an unemployment claim from February who is still waiting to be finalized. And it's shown that, it's nice, initially that we were working from home, keeping our employees safe. But as we saw at the Secretary of State's offices, they were open since last June 1st. They've operated safely. There's been no issues. And we just are not having the same productivity from our state employees in the unemployment office as they're working from home. And sometimes these issues are just more complicated. People want to come in. They've got some paperwork. They can take care of them, in these offices, and we can do it safely. And they should have been open, 6, 7, 8 months ago, if not longer.
I've heard from folks who say they're just glitches in the system where they're owed benefits, but the system just won't take it. They won't take it from them. Or they need to prove their identity, but they say what better way to prove your identity than there in person with your driver's license and you there and, a passport or something. That those are the kinds of things that even if they wait for the call back, those 32,300 and some odd people in the queue system as of last week, even if they get the call back, they don't necessarily get some sort of resolution to their problem. And it's shocking to me that here we are at this point, how many months later, and we're still seeing people unable to get their benefits for things they desperately need, right? That's what unemployment benefits are for, to keep you afloat in a very tough time.
Yeah, whether it's people who are just out of a job because it got closed down. You know, I have a Chrysler plant in my district. You know, they're going through a shutdown temporarily. So those employees, you know, rely on benefits, you know, for sometimes a couple weeks to a month. And, you know, they're calling. They can't get answers. And like you mentioned, you know, they'll call an office. They'll send in paperwork, not get a response. You know, they'll email back and forth, still not get a response. Call, they'll get somebody. it's kind of this... the circular process that, you know, we're just not resolving the claims like we could in person. And it doesn't mean everybody needs to come into the office, but I think number one, having people in the office, they'll be more productive. They're focused solely on their work. Number two, for those complicated issues that require proof of identification or those paperwork things, it'll be easier to take care of. And number three, people who just, you know, don't want to, you know, use a computer or be on the phone. They just want to stop in and talk to somebody, you know, they can have their issues resolved. And again, if these are the folks who need it the most, we should be in the business of just providing good customer service to the residents of Illinois. And for these offices to be completely closed still, I just can't understand. And I joke, you know, Jesse White, the Secretary of State, like I mentioned, his offices have been open. You know, he's talking about retirement. Maybe we need to just convince him not to retire and hop over to IDS and see if he can run this for a couple months and get this thing up and running again.
Great idea. I'm in favor of that. They've been very responsible. They were shut down too, but they opened as soon as they could. And we've had them on the show before. Henry Haupt over at their office, he's been really responsive with our listeners. He understands this is a frustrating time and that it's tough when you're shut down, when you have these specific issues that are affecting your life. And I think unemployment's even more important than that. You know, your driver's license expired. You're talking about money to keep yourself, your family going. Talking with State Rep Joe Sosnowski about the Illinois Department of Employment Services. Still no plans to open. Oh my gosh, why not? We don't know because they're not answering that question apparently. Representative, now you guys are doing something or trying to do something. They're in the lawmakers are getting together to do something. Tell us what you think the next steps are. Will this be successful in what you're doing?
Well, we hope so. We hope to put pressure on the office. You know, we've had some conversations. You know, we've sent letters. You know, we've referred cases, you know, to their staff. And just not getting anywhere. And so we hope that through this bipartisan, you know, this resolution will be a message to say, all right, we need to get this up and going. And I don't know if we need to do a sit-in in the governor's office to raise this to a level of awareness, but that may be the next step. But really after that, you know, we may have to look seriously at what we can do in the budget process. And I don't know if that means diverting funds to another department to pick up and help staff or hiring outside consultants or agency to come in and manage. You know, the governor, you know, through executive order has gotten used to, you know, I think in some ways bypassing the legislature. But even they realized that, well, we hired they went out and hired a call processing firm just to take calls. You know, but the problem is that's not solving the issues. You know, if you're not getting back to those calls or calling those people back and taking care of the problem, you know, they're just kind of, you know, spreading them out and trying to hold people off as long as possible. And again, it's not healthy. And again, I think a simple solution is getting all of our IDS employees working on unemployment claims back in the office, working regularly, and then also that being available to people on a walk-in basis. So we hope that through this, create some bipartisan public pressure on the governor's office, on the department, and say, all right, let's just get back to work.
Mm-hmm. You hope so. I mean, my God, you'd really hope so. Hey, I want to ask you about something else, because as we're talking here, this is crossing. The Thompson Center is being put up for sale. They're thinking it might fetch $300 million, which sounds like a ton of dough, and it is. However, when you look at the unfunded pension liabilities for the state, I don't know if it would go there, but it seems as if you still have a long way to go. I know the pension problem is front and center on your plate, something you'd like to see handled better for the future. Can you bring us kind of up to speed? How did the pandemic affect things? Where are we with all that?
Yeah, well, a couple things. You know, Thompson Center is long overdue. Under the prior governor, you know, there was some discussion, but because of political reasons, the sale or RFP process wasn't allowed to move forward. So, you know, that being put aside, you know, it's about time. You know, definitely an asset that can be sold and better utilized. The money should definitely go to something like pensions. You know, as you mentioned, the $150 billion plus, you know, $300 million certainly won't make much of a dent in it. But We need to continue to fund that, but we also need to just look at fixing reforms, relieving local cities from mandates. Because the pension problem isn't just at the state level. It's all of our cities and counties and these things, these pensions, while they have ability to pay them right now, similar to what we saw in major cities like Detroit, once you start losing people paying into the system, like we are in Illinois here, we've lost residents, we're not gaining population. They take up more and more of the budget. And so they're not going to be guaranteed long term, because if you don't have the money to pay it, so we want people to be able to retire and have a retirement. But the pension system was not created so that Speaker Matic can retire at a $90,000 salary and 1 year later make $140,000 a year. It wasn't designed to have superintendents retire making $350,000 a year. That wasn't the point of the pension system. And the vast majority of state workers, they're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. And, those are reasonable pensions. Those are the ones we want to sustain. But, these benefit plans that are going to be worth millions and millions, that's not what the system was set up for. So we need to start making adjustments. And we should have started many years ago, but there's just this reluctance right now. And a lot of pressures from the unions, just to do nothing. But that's not going to help us long run.
Are the pandemic funds at all? Are there any federal help for those types of things? Is that going to help us at all?
Yeah, that can. I'm afraid, we'll see what kind of budget is crafted, as we see what the majority party puts forth. It's easy to spend money, very quickly. And I think even the governor announced that, they're going to add more money to education funding in the tune of $350 million. Which is good in some regards. But on the other hand, all of our school districts have gotten massive amounts of money this past year. I represent Rockford. Public school system got almost $250 million in federal assistance, which is almost 60-70% of 1 year's budget. So there's been a big infusion in the schools this year. And so that money, plus other federal money that's coming in, we hope that the governor and the majority party will look at diverting that into to pensions to help shore that up and balance our budget. But the main thing is you can't add new spending. And that's what I fear is going to happen. They'll end up finding a bunch of projects to spend the money on. That'll be one-time expenses. And then, our budget will look good for 1 year. But, that's again, for the long run, that's not a healthy way to approach budgeting.
Representative Sadowski, what is your district, your 69th district? Where are you roughly? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, so I live in Rockford and represent a chunk of the city of Rockford, but Winnebago County and also Boone County and Belvedere.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll be continuing to follow this, and hopefully you get some resolution with the IDES situation. I hope it works, and I want to thank you for your time this afternoon. Thanks for calling in to WGN.
No problem. Thanks for having me.